In order for me to deliver every day what I try to deliver in this excellence and deliver a positive message to people out there and some hope and opportunity, I have to come inward at times. I have to be introspective to say, okay, where am I at? Am I where I need to be? I question myself all the time. But you know the other thing I do, Andrea, Barbara? You know what I do a lot too? Is I break shit. I break shit all the time. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you right now, I get up in the morning and I just break shit to break it. I'm like the guy who comes in the room that starts moving the furniture around. I don't like complacency and I don't want it in my life. Of course, I don't like procrastination either. Of course, these are human ailments and they're things that bother me, but I don't like this complacency thing. So I just break shit all the time. I say, okay. And you know what's really cool, ladies? I don't know if you experience this or not. Do you know the best time to break shit? Do you know the best time to do that?
No.
Is when you're on top of the game.
Ah, okay.
I think that's what we forget as human beings. I think we sometimes forget that just because I'm right here doesn't mean I have to go backwards, but I can move to the
right. Barbara, that's awesome. That's awesome. 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 That's a book you need to write, Barbara McGee. And and it's called That's Awesome Information You Just Gave Everybody. That's like a gem. What's your book is your next book, Barbara, or your first book, whatever it is going to be called Shift. Shift. And that's in life. I love what you just said. How do you, because that's really the answer to what Andrea and I just put out there, where she said, well, what do you think is that? I said, well, no, Andrea, I don't really like to put it in that sense. But how about this sense? But you just nailed it. Shift. She got a shift in life.
Welcome to the conversation. I got a question for you. How would you describe your life? If you were, say, to die today, would you have any regrets at all? Or would you be able to say, yep, I lived my life to the fullest? We are going to get into it. I am Dr. Andrea Pennington, and with me today is Barbara McGee, Malcolm Out Loud. We're going to be discussing what has hot topic, because everyone around the world deals with this very issue. Whether they are facing a terminal illness or they've just had some sort of life-scaring accident, I know that you are out there in la-la land, you know, out in California where people love to live it up. What do you think about this?
Well, Andrea, it's wonderful again to be here at Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure with you and Malcolm. And, you know, I just recently have gone through this. In terms of someone who was very close to me passed away recently. And I had a series, an overview, a feeling of, wow, I had so many things I needed to say and didn't get a chance to say. I think we all have a fear of death because we have not yet accepted the dream that is our life's calling. And once we give ourselves over to the real purpose for why we're here, I think then we can enter into closure or transition, as they call it, without regret. I think that's the key.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you say, Malcolm? I mean, you are certainly living life to the full, and, you know, with the birth of your network and now this show where you're working with 10 women from around the world, you are living it up. I would imagine you wouldn't have any regrets.
Well, that's a good question, Andrea. But, you know, I find myself thinking a lot about this these days. You know, just recently, about a year ago, a very dear friend of mine, ladies, Larry had unexpectedly died, and very, very close friend of mine. And I had had dinner with Larry just about a week before he had died unexpectedly. It was an accident that took his life, so it was not expected at all. But it gave me great pause in life when Larry died, because he would always say to me, now Larry went through several cancers, he went through some really tough moments in life, probably about, in the maybe seven, 8 years prior to his death. Now, again, he died of an accident. He didn't die of the cancers or the problems that he had struggled and had victory over. But he always said to me this. I always said, "How are you doing, Larry?" And he would say, "You know, it's a great day, Malcolm, when I can get up and put my pants on." So he never complained. And this man went through, had to go through reconstructive surgery on his face because of the cancers. I mean, he went through some really tough times. Yet, he was one of the most positive and energetic people I knew, Larry. And I think of him often when this comes up, because I know he lived an entirely a fulfilling life, but he valued life and he held it in such high regard that no matter what he went through, he had this salvation in him that he wanted to be alive. He wanted this life. He wanted every day. He wanted to get up. He wanted to put those pants on. And you know what? He was willing and ready to deal with whatever came his way, including life-ending cancer, if it was going to take him out. And he did it the right way. Now, that's exemplary to me. You know, that is a very high standard to me. You know, today, when you see so much in the way of suicide, and you see so many people take their life. In fact, I just had a very good friend on this network, I don't know if you two know this, who took her life. She was one of our hosts of our shows.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. She took her life just some months ago before this show started. Her name was Kelly Murphy, Iron Man Kelly Murphy. In fact, if you look her up on the network, you'll see a lot of her work still. She had a show with us called High Heels, High Hopes.
Wow.
Very fast. Yeah. And she took her life from suicide. In her prime, she was in her 40s and a beautiful, beautiful young woman. Had no idea she was struggling with such demons inside of her. And then you wonder and you question, why? Why would you do that? And so, here's the thing. This show today is one of the most important shows we could do, and it really is about how to live a life without regrets. And one of the things that come to my attention, Andrea and Barbara, is the way this article that we, shaped this show today from, and it's what is the number one regret of the dying? Well, there was a nurse, her name is Bronnie Ware, and it's funny, I'd come across this article twice in the past many months, and it was the top five regrets of the dying, okay? And so she goes on to say, she's the author of this book, The Top Five Regrets of the Dying, and she says she has seen the clock run out all too often when all of these people would share their inner thoughts, their inner secrets with her, and here it is, let's give it right up front. Here's the number one regret of the dying, according to Bronnie Ware and all of the work she's done with hundreds and hundreds of patients. And here it is. I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me.
You know, Malcolm, this is a live by because of all the sort of emotions or feelings that we humans can have, regret is a feeling that I simply cannot tolerate. And so when there are times in my life, and generally the times that I do feel regret is when I'm not living true. So like what you said, Barbara, at the start of the show about, you know, living with a certain purpose and passion, I noticed very early in my career that I was going down a career path that didn't allow the full expression of my passion. And even though I had all kinds of success, you know, looking from the outside in, I was miserable. And I literally felt like life could not go on that way. I was that depressed. And it's when I really had to look within, and I know, Malcolm, you and I talk about this a lot, about really becoming introspective. And I say, don't wait till you're on your deathbed. Really look and see, are you living a life that is true to yourself, true to your heart and your soul's desire? Because when regret sets in, that's when, for me, all sorts of discontent and irritability sets in. And then I'm a miserable person to be around, not just for myself, but for everybody else.
Well, you know, Andrea, if I may say, it just seems that we do forget that we as people need each other, first off. We need an example to live by. We need a community to live within. And we, once we achieve a certain level of knowledge, for personal satisfaction, we must impart that on others. If we don't go into some level of mentorship and share what we've learned through our life experiences, we are unfulfilled. Our purpose is not yet ignited. And this gives us a sense of longing and also brings on regret. I think it's important to understand that we are shaped by our environment. And so it's not that I'm living up to my mother's expectations, but my mother has preceded me, and I'm using my mom as an example, has preceded me with a similar DNA, with a similar level of temptation, with a similar level of disappointment. And I need to learn from her mistakes to be able to do better for myself.
Now, Barbara, hold that thought right there, because that's significant what you say there. But here's what I want to bring people's attention to. When you say a product of the environment, or you say shaped by your environment around you, what comes to my mind immediately is to remind people, do not become a product of your environment. Don't become, this is one of the problems I see with people out there, is then they blame that environment or whatever that upbringing or whatever that situation is on their entire existence moving forward. So there's one thing when it shapes you as a young person, but we all have to find the strength in ourselves not to become a product of the entire environment around us. And Andrea, you inspire me always with your, you exemplify to me a life without regrets, because you focus on the fact, because this subject drives you crazy, it seems to me, every time it's come up. Yep.
It absolutely does, Malcolm, because as Barbara put it, I have actually taken it on as part of my mission to teach other people. Because unfortunately with Miss Murphy, who took her life, I, in 2005, in an act of desperation, asked God to take my life. I was that miserable. And I had become a product of the environment. Now, it wasn't my upbringing, although that certainly shaped me. When I started at Discovery Channel, I was hired as their medical director. And at the time, I thought, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to be on TV. You know, I had already grown up practicing radio dramas and rehearsing skits with my best friend, Allison. And even at university, I was the general manager of our TV station. I was performing in professional theater. So when I got hired by Dot, this is a dream come true. But when I got there, nope. The head of programming told me that I looked too young. He said no one would believe that I was a doctor. And so for the first year, my requests to host a show were denied until we got a new president, Bob T. Reed, who came in and said he had plans for me. And Malcolm, I was given this role of spokesperson. I got my own show and I began anchoring the news. But here's what happened. My desire to be there, and of course, you know, it was Discovery. I was willing to do anything. And here's what happened. And Barbara, you probably know what this is like, especially where you work and live. They hired a makeup artist and a stylist who did my hair and makeup and wardrobe to make me look older. And we hired a coach who worked with me to perfect my delivery of the news with a very authoritative tone. So they tried to make me look more mature. And indeed, I started doing it. I was very popular. Soon I was on the Oprah show. I was being on, you know, asked on all these other shows and CNN. But guess what? Little by little, I was starting to be recognized in the street. These people were looking at me as if I was that boring, buttoned-up, prude, know-it-all doctor that they'd seen on TV. And I was miserable because I wasn't living my true self. I had become a product of that environment. And that is what led me to the extreme depression I'm not saying that this is like anyone else's kind of depression, but I know that you know what this is like, Malcolm. We artistic and entrepreneurial types, if we don't express our energy and our creative talents, that energy turns inward. And that's what happened to me. I could not go on living that way. And well, you know the story, Malcolm. I eventually had a spiritual that really led to my rebirth and ultimately my rebranding. But it has caused me to do what this article that you shared with us in Inc.com, this number one thing that they recommend is elevating your values to sacred status. My number one values are authenticity and integrity. If I can't be my true self, if I can't be in integrity, meaning all of me gets to come into play, then that's when I feel those bad feelings come in, and I'll get out, whether it's a job, a relationship, or even a country. Because as you know, I left America and I moved here in the south of France. I know it's a little extreme, but this is how passionate I am about it.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting that you've taken it to that level, Andrea, and I hear you. I've gone through some of those same struggles and some of those same things in my own life. You put it very well a moment ago when you said that energy becomes inward and then it starts to beat you up. And that's kind of what I'm seeing. Barbara, I want you to comment on that, because I think that Andre is onto something big with that. That, you know, we exude all of this. We put it all out there every day. Like me, I'm just a ball of energy. I mean, everybody knows that about me, and that's I bring that to whatever the party is or the conversation is. But at some point, that energy kicks my ass because it comes inward back at me. So I have to be very, very careful, which is why, as you say, Andrea, those high creative types, those high visionary types, which is me. So I'm expected to do certain things. I'm expected to live a certain life. For me now, this is me saying this. I mean, you know, and this is what I strive for every day, but that can beat the hell out of you sometimes. You see what I mean?
Well, that's true, especially when you have very high standards and you have one of your other values, I'm sure, Malcolm, is a high standard of excellence. So it's not only do you want to be authentic and be out loud, but you want to do it well.
Well, and that's a great point you make too, because yes, I'm a perfectionist, which is also a problem. So, but you just said the key to the way to solve perfectionism is to just strive for excellence, because perfect isn't there, man. It's just not it. So that's one thing I've discovered. Not the easy way either, because I beat myself up a lot, but is that perfection really is just about excellence. You want to create excellence and you want to move on. Don't get mired in the mud. Here's the question I would like everybody to think about here, just ahead as we pause a moment here, and it's this. This is the important question. Is it really possible to be free enough to live a life with no regrets? Think about this question, friends. Is it really possible to be free enough to live a life with no regrets? Because that really is the question we need to answer here. And then we can get into a series of things and steps about how to exactly do that. We'll be right back with Dr. Andrea Pennington and Barbara McGee. Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, we are having a terrific conversation here with Barbara McGee and Dr. Andrea Pennington, and I've been wanting to have this conversation for a while now. This is an important conversation to me, and I'm thrilled to be able to do this today with both Andrea and Barbara. Really, it's a privilege and a blessing to be able to do that. But this is an important one, and so let's bring you up to date here, folks, with what we're doing exactly. So there's this nurse and an author of the book, The Top Five Regrets of the Dying. And her name is Bronnie Ware. And so she had been, you know, people on their deathbed and talking to all of these people over a period of time, over years and years and years, collected all of these thoughts into the book and then said, okay, so what do you think the number one regret of the dying is? And it was this: I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. This is an important one, friends. This is an important one to ask yourself, are you living an authentic life? Now, I use the word authenticity a lot. And I'm going to say, from what I'm gathering and getting to know Barbara and Andrea, they tend to use it as well. Because these are both exemplary women who get it, who totally, totally get it. So I think the word authenticity is an important word. I want you to reflect on that today yourself. And ask yourself, are you being authentic to who you are? Are you living an authentic life? Let's start there a moment, okay? And then, I love some of this. This kind of goes on to ask, you know, a lot of the questions we ask ourselves at some point of our lives. Like, who am I? Where do I belong? You know, what am I supposed to be doing? What's my destiny? When do I check out of here? Well, we never really know when we check out of here, of course. We just know that every day I see as a true blessing. And I think it's important to focus on that today for all of us to understand the value of what we're talking about and appreciate our existence. To me, I mean, I do this often to say to myself, okay, all the things we worry about every day, and this is another important point to bring to everyone's attention. Most of the things that we worry about, most of the things that frustrate us, they don't even matter in the scope of things. In fact, you know what the best test to do with this now is? When these things annoy you every day and they keep clashing with your brain and your activity, here's the thing. Ask yourself this question. The problem that you're dealing with at the moment, and I know there's a lot of problems and a lot of moments, but is it going to matter 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Is that problem that you're dealing with right now going to matter 5 or 10 years from now? You know something? I could give you 25 things right now that are possibly annoying me, things I got to go do, things I should be doing, things that I didn't really like the outcome. Again, I'm a bit of a madman, perfectionist kind of guy. Okay, I get it. But when I ask myself to every one of those things, Will it matter 10 years from now? I got to tell you, man, I bet none of them would qualify in that mode. So here we worry and we stress and we have this fear. So here's a big question I would like you to answer, ladies, and think about this. How do we learn? How can we help people today live a life without fear? Because fear is the culprit here. Totally, totally the culprit. And fear can take your life out. It could help, it could cause one to commit suicide, as what happened with Kelly that was telling Iron Man Murphy. Here's a lady, Andrea Barbara, who competed and accomplished 2 Iron Man triathletes. Do you know how hard it is to be an Iron Man triathlete?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
She accomplished it twice, you know? So, and yet she wasn't fulfilled inside of herself. So answer that question, whoever can answer that. How do we learn to live a life without fear?
Well, I think the spirit of fear is not ever godly. And I think that a lot of us, there's a new movement, which is very unnerving to me. This new movement sees everything as a moral right or wrong. Does more of a feel-good type of morality than realizing that we do have a blueprint already there to live by. We've already got instruction on how to be a human and how to handle our spirit man, our emotional man, and our total id. And it's the good book. And there are several instructions there that teach us how self-control is one of the most important things that we can learn. Instead of learning to immerse ourselves in what we want. Right now, Malcolm, Andrea, I think that we are so self-guided that we don't ever see that we are not the best decision makers for us. We need to have structure. We need to have timelines. We need to have a vision. We need to have goals. We need to be still long enough to understand and hear what God is saying to us. Everyone within the sound of my voice has a purpose and has a reason why we are here. We are not just here for entertainment. We're not here to fulfill our job requirements. We're not here to bear children. We have an innate purpose that is for us to be here right now. And when we deny the fulfillment of that,
yeah,
that
you know, Barbara, that's a great point. And Andrea, as we toss it to you here, I want to say that that is significant in the way that I don't think, playing off of what you're saying, Barbara, I don't think much is accidental. I think there's an intention and a purpose to all of these things. In fact, there's a purpose to us doing this show right at this very, very moment. There's a purpose to all of this insight and knowledge and beautiful expertise we're putting out there for everybody. There's a purpose to all of this. There's a purpose why we connect in life. There's a purpose why we run into each other. I don't think a lot of things are by accident. Andrea?
I agree with you. I believe there is a divine hand and that we are connected in a beautiful way. And the more mindful and conscious we can become, the more we can get in align with that flow. But, you know, there's something that Barbara said, and you mentioned it with this question about who am I? And that is really where I start with all of my clients. Because if you feel that you are the sum of what is printed on your resume, or if you associate with a job title or with a certain relationship, then you will always feel like you're not quite good enough or that you could be knocked off. Now, Barbara made it a very spiritual and somewhat religious conversation when you say there's this good book. And, you know, we have to honor that there are people of other religious and spiritual faiths. But it does come back to this question of who do you say you are? Because if you are more than just this human flesh, you are what then? Perhaps a soul, divine consciousness? And if you start there, if you identify yourself as something more than just a human body and bag of emotions, then you can start to really ask that next question, which is, why am I here? What is my purpose? What am I here to fulfill? And don't have a model for that fits them. Unfortunately, many of the religious models have become tainted, and young people are feeling like, well, where do I find my moral code? So we have to learn how to be role models for that in a way that exemplifies but also leaves room for people to go within and discover for themselves who they really are, discover that divine connection that will really shape you to your true purpose. At least that's how I see it.
Well, I think I wanted to speak, Dr. Pennington, back to... And I love saying that, Dr. Pennington, by the way.
But girl, call me Andrea, please.
It just speaks to your level of expertise, and I want our listening audience to be able to appreciate what you're saying. I want to go back to what you were saying about how you were being rebranded in your job and how your job was driving, this was your desire. And you thought for a while it was your purpose. And while you were hired and given permission to be there at the station, what you were really doing, you were really giving them permission to retool you for their purpose, for a sum of money. And I think that's where we as Americans really have our deepest regrets. It is our jobs. The jobs and our career choices that we choose or the ones that are chosen for us. Because many times we choose a path, we become educated for that path, we are passionate about that path, And then we can't get a job in that area. So we still have to survive. We still have to pay bills. So we take on a career over here. My point is that we're not defined, and you weren't defined by that job or by that role or by that position. It was a refinement that you were going through, that you learned many, many tools that you're able to use at this point in your life. And I think that's what we forget. I think we think of ourselves as they're doing this to me, when in all actuality, we should be pulling from that experience, with all due respect, and being able to add on to that, because we'll need those tools we learned later on in life. Do you find that to be so, Andrea? Did it work out that way for you?
You are absolutely right on the money, Barbara. I never, ever say that they did it to me. In fact, right now I am preparing to fly to London to present at the Expert Empires event. Imagine that, right? Teaching people how to build their empire. What I'm doing is exactly what you said. I am going to teach from my example of what not to do. And I will admit that they didn't make me into that brand. I allowed myself to become molded and folded into this image, into this persona, into a box, so that I could fulfill, you know, what I thought I needed to fulfill. And I don't regret it. I did learn, as you pointed out, I learned a ton. And I was able to build a multi-million dollar business, and then I was able to rebrand myself. And now I am teaching. I pay it forward by teaching, you know, applied positive psychology and corporate brand management at the university level and speaking at conferences. Now, mind you, Barbara, I'm going to week, and headlining is Gary Vaynerchuk. I don't know if you know him, but he's a very outspoken person, drops of far more F-bombs than I ever will. And I don't know if these people are really anticipating the kind of spiritual talk I'm going to bring to them, but I'm going to lay it on them, because they need to hear this from someone who has been to the mountaintop, and it wasn't what we were promised.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I wish you the best in London. And I think that every facet of the conversation is necessary. Every facet, because eventually people, if you continue to expose yourself to positive thought and different people's experiences, that is the best way to cultivate and understand your purpose, why you're here. If we can get more interpersonal and turn out what they call white noise, you know, that noise that's just constantly going on, the television, the media, the computer, if we can get away from that and just have one day in seven where we rest and we hear our inner self speak, we will find our purpose.
Well, but Barbara, there's a lot of white noise around. That's a great way to put it, actually. But we all have that white noise in our lives. Things that, and you know what they are, Barbara, is they're distractions. They're just distractions, all of that nonsense that goes on. And again, a lot of that doesn't really matter in life. Andrea, as you speak to these people in London, and you create them, I think you said how to create their own empire, their own brand, which as a brander and as a marketer myself, I did it for 27 years in corporate boardrooms, I totally get it. And here's the key. This message today that we're talking about in this show is so timely in your mind, Andrea, as you deliver this to all these other beautiful people out there in London. And really, the only way they can get out of that comfort zone that they're in is they have to learn how to live a life without fear. Because if you're going to build your empire, if you're going to do whatever your destiny, whatever your motive is, whatever wherever you're going, you've got to be able to unleash yourself, and you've got to release yourself from that fear. Everything is sort of fear-based that keeps us down. Back to that conformity. There's a life of conformity versus being a freewheeler. As I ask the question, is it really possible to be free enough to live a life with no regrets? I'd ask that question coming into this segment. Is it really possible to be free enough? Think about that. To me, that question sums it all up and sizes it up for me. When I ask myself, am I free enough To live a life with no regrets. Because at this point, if I have to answer that question, I would answer it no. I'm not being authentic. I'm not possibly free enough right now to live a life with no. Because if I had to die, if I was dying today or tomorrow, I have lots of regrets right now. A lot of regrets. And so when I ask myself the question, and I bet you about everybody out there, if you ask yourself that question, I wonder what you come up with. Do you have regrets? Or are you just totally perfect right now in your life? Like, man, you're so damn free. You could just soar off the mountaintop and you're just cool, man. You're going with it. And if you're there, then you're high, and hopefully it's not high as an acid trip, but high as in life is going really well. We'll be right back in a moment with Barbara McGee and Dr. Andrea Pennington. We are excited indeed to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest-growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our one-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America Out Loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
You are listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. I am your co-host, Barbara McGee. I'm here with Dr. Andrea Pennington, and of course, Malcolm Out Loud, and we are discussing how to live a life without regrets. And we've talked a little bit about what it is to die and to think, oh, maybe I should have lived my best life. Well, Malcolm, Andrea, I'd like to say, since we've already discussed this a little bit, that shame is probably the most debilitating thing that we can live with. I know Malcolm says fear, but I bring shame into play because I think shame controls us silently. Our fears we can speak about, but shame is that regulatory commission that goes down inside of you and keeps you paralyzed because you are ashamed if you do it, you're ashamed if you don't do it. Andrea, what do you think about that?
I do find that shame is one of those experiences, those emotions that adds a deep, dark layer of depression to people's lives. But I would say that, you know, fear and shame, they are neck and neck in my book for what holds us back. I think shame colors the life in a dark, sad tone, but fear, I think, immobilizes people even more. I'm fortunate that I have a mother who, unfortunately for her, she lost her mom at the age of 11. So I never knew my grandmother. She died when my mom was just a kid. She died from complications from type 2 diabetes. And when my mother went away to London to study nursing, she was devastated to find out that diabetes is not only preventable and manageable, that her mom didn't have to die of it. But what it did for her, Barbara, is it caused her to forget fear. She just said, I am going to live full out. She traveled the world. She moved to America after she married an American. And when she went into the hospital system, she saw how doctors spoke down to nurses. She said, oh, no, you don't. She put herself into medical school with three young children. And my mom was a woman who believed in living to the fullest. You know, she would have parties, she would go out, she lived well. She lived a good balanced life, never too much of one thing. But what gave me Malcolm and Barbara was a reference point for what it means to live with purpose and to live without fear. So every time I've made a decision in life that other people would say is crazy or that I shouldn't do, I fortunately have had background of my mom. You know, do what you want, follow your passion. Make sure that you're always doing, you know, the master's work, as she always put it. But I never felt the same level of fear that other people did. I felt fear was just a tingle. It was just, you know, a temporary thing that you pass through to get where you want to go in life.
Yeah, I think there are people who may be able to answer the shame thing more, Barbara, which you bring up. Interesting word. That word would not have come to my vocabulary here this morning with you. I can't relate to shame. I think there are a lot of people who probably can, maybe in their life, but I haven't done anything so egregious in my life that it's shameful or that I'm ashamed of. Now, fear, to me, scares the hell out of me. You know, that's a real problem. But I'm sure a lot of people can relate to the shame thing. And maybe that's something in their life that is so bad. Like, you know, we mentioned in the earlier segment, I shared with you a very personal, intimate story about Kelly Ironman Murphy, who was on this platform and was doing a absolutely terrific show with us. And she obviously had some fear in her. Now, maybe there was some shame as well, Barbara. I don't really know, because you really don't know the inner workings that deep of somebody like that as to what is the fear factor or are they really truly ashamed of something. But I think this is maybe a wake-up call for a lot of people today to stop and ask themselves. I want to share with both of you, I have to tell you this because if I don't, I'll regret it later, but my mom. So my mom, you know, if you've listened to the show before, you know probably that I had have a great relationship I had with my mom, who's no longer with us today, but there's a lesson, a real big lesson my mom gave me in life. When she was dying, she was only 76, and she should have lived to 90, in her mid-90s, because her mother, my grandmother, lived to her mid-90s. Her mother's mother lived to her mid-90s. Longevity was in the family, you understand, you know? And they were all living into their 90s. And, of course, Mom took herself out because she smoked for 40 years, 40, 50 years, the worst stuff you could possibly smoke, you know? And I remember asking Mom on her deathbed what one of her regrets was, if she had regrets. Back to that question, that word you don't like, Andrea, you know, regrets. And one of them was she wished she had never smoked in her life. Now, I despise smoking today because of the people I've seen it take away from me in my life, you see. And this is a great lesson for people out there who are doing that, maybe to reevaluate their life, if not for yourself, for the loved ones and people around you, to think, are you living a quality, health-driven life where you can fulfill and have those people around you happy? But Mom found herself very, very ill in a nursing home, and it was the same home that my grandmother, her mom, was in prior to her dying. And my mother looked, and I spent the last week in that room with my mother. I slept in a chair and talked to Mom in her last final days. And so what happened is, I asked Mom what regrets. I asked her a lot of the key questions that I wanted to know. What would she change in her life? What was she most happiest for? It was sort of my closing arguments in life, you know, to have that opportunity with her, you know? And I remember doing that, and she looked at me, and she was in such denial at that moment of her life that she was in the same place, the same moment, the same home that her mom was, her mother, my grandmother, and she could not believe it. Total denial that this was her time, her moment, and she was very sensitive about that and crying and really upset with the fact that her life had passed her by And I felt so bad for her in that way because I realized she wanted to do so much more. She wanted to be someone else. But I think she limited herself in life. She was a great mom. We had seven children. She had seven children. But there were so many lessons that came from that experience for me, you know, that told me, wow. And that I said to myself, God, I don't want to wake up in my life at that moment of my life and be in that home and be in that position where somebody says to me, a loved one, a child, someone else says to me that same thing. And then I feel like I didn't live my fullest life. That was a wake-up call to me, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very interesting about our parents, our good parents, and the personal sacrifices they made to make sure that we came forth and that we can now impart this level of intelligence on the world through this medium. I think it's amazing. And I think that is our greater duty, is to show, teach, and share the successful traits of people who are living their best selves. Mm-hmm. Now, we might have regrets, of course, at the end of time, our time, because we don't want to leave this place. No one's gone and come back and said, hey, it's diamonds and pearls and it's okay to die. No one's really given that, you know, thumbs up on it.
I know. But I think of that. Hold on, Barbara. I think of that all the time. Stop a minute. That's a big deal what you just said. I think of that all the time, Barbara. I wonder to myself and I say, okay, why doesn't anybody come back and give us a hint? I mean, just give us a hint. Can you tell us anything at all, please? Like, is it all cool? Is it good? Is it okay? I mean, can anybody give us just a hint? You know, and I, Barbara, I tell you, I think of that a lot, and I wonder, and I'm saying, I wonder if anybody on the other side has tried to come back in a spiritual way to tell us something more. It's a pretty profound conversation, especially whether or not you believe in God, as I do, and, you know, and back to, I know you always qualify Andre and say, well, we need to be careful because we don't know who their God is. Well, I don't really subscribe to that same argument. I believe there is only one God, and whether or not you believe in it, that's your problem if you don't. So I don't believe in the whole Allah thing and the rest of it. That's me. But you already know that about me, Andrea, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So, and I don't make excuses for it, and I don't really, you know, that's the deal. So, but Barbara, that's cool that you say that. Do you ever think of that, Andrea? And like, I mean, am I just a warped thinker here? I mean, why do I question that sometimes? You know, somebody give us a hint. Tell us, what's over there? Is the party cool?
I don't think you're that warped a thinker. But, you know, topic for another show. I mean, there have been books written by different mediums and psychics, people who have crossed over to the other side and then came back, who mentioned that they had conversations with angels or God or people on the other side who did say that the things over there were peaceful. But
when they do that, I always hear an expert come on and qualify it as saying they were delusionary or their mind warped or something else. So I guess the question is, do you believe that really happens or is it just...
I do. I do. Okay. I absolutely do. But I wonder, if would you believe it? So, Malcolm, if somebody appeared to you in a dream mm-hmm. and said, hey, Malcolm, you asked, well, I'm here to tell you, this is what life is like when you human body. Would you believe it? Or would you think, oh, I just probably had a little indigestion, ate too late at night, it was bad.
Well, you know, wine. Last night, coming into the show today, ladies, I was a little bit restless. And I meditated and stared at the ceiling for a little while. Of course, it was a full day, a lot of work, and, you know, and I'm just, you know, and I was just looking to God to ask him, what was the day all about? Where do we go from here tomorrow? And just trying to take the moment. I tried to be, and I think you pick up on this a lot, Andrea, very introspect, you know. In order for me to deliver every day what I try to deliver in this excellence and deliver a positive message to people out there and some hope and opportunity, I have to come inward at times. I have to be introspective to say, okay, where am I at? Am I where I need to be? I question myself all the time. But you know the other thing I do, Andrea, Barbara? You know what I do a lot, too? Is I break shit. I break shit all the time. You know what I'm saying? If I'm telling you right now, I get up in the morning, and I just break shit to break it. I will just... I'm like the guy who comes in the room that starts moving the furniture around. I don't like complacency, and I don't want it in my life. Of course, I don't like procrastination either. Of course, these are human ailments, and they're things that bother me, but I don't like this complacency thing. So it's like, so I just break shit all the time. I say, okay, and you know what's really cool, ladies? I don't know if you experience this or not. Do you know the best time to break shit? Do you know the best time to do that?
No.
Is when you're on top of the game.
Ah, okay.
When it's going really well. Like right now, things are going really well. I mean, like phenomenally well. And I have this mode in me to start want to break and shit.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, no. True.
Is any of that self-sabotage? Are you trying to sabotage? Or is you're a novelty seeker and you just want something new. You know, you got to break some shit so that you can go create something new. Which is it?
God, I never thought of it that way, Andrea. Man, you just can be the bearer of bad news. What the hell do you got to bring that up for?
Well, because it's something, it's pretty common. No, I'm a novelty seeker. I can build something and be like, okay, that's great. Next, I want something new. But there are also people who get to a and they break it, they sabotage it.
All right, so what I look at it is this. I look at it as that if we're going to be our best, complacency is a real disease for us human beings, okay? And I think that we become very complacent in our lives when we hit sort of near the top of whatever that mountain is at the moment. And if we don't continue to grow higher and continue to challenge, like for instance, I've seen a lot of the best, biggest brands in the world collapse based on the fact that they didn't continue to reinvent themselves. So what I'm saying today in my message is, not so much a thrill seeker, although I love the ride, but it's really about making sure we're climbing higher, making sure there's something for us to reach for tomorrow. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about consider this? I mean, just think about this. When you reach your highest self in your business or in your relationship to business, what if there's a shift lateral? What if there's not an opportunity to break something, but a shift of lateral ability to then move up higher? I think that's what we forget as human beings. I think we sometimes forget that just because I'm right here doesn't mean I have to go backwards, but I can move to the
Barbara,
right.
Barbara, that's awesome. That's awesome. 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 That's a book you need to write, Barbara McGee. And and it's called, it's that's awesome information you just gave everybody. That's like a gem. What's your book is, your next book, Barbara, or your first book, whatever it is going to be called Shift. Shift. And that's in life. I love what you just said. How do you, because that's really the answer to what Andrea and I just put out there, where she said, well, what do you think is that? And I said, well, no, Andrea, I don't really like to put it in that sense. But how about this sense? But you just nailed it. Shift. She got a shift in life. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. That's cool, Barbara.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And not only do you have to shift, but you have to be able to stand as well and own you, your actions. See, in short, my greatest regret with this person who passed away, who I'm not going to get too literal about, but my greatest regret with that is the fact that they called me and apologized to me before they passed away and said, I'm so sorry. But there was so much more that could be done between us to mend our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important. That was the life lesson I learned, is that it's not necessary for me as a person to regret, to forgive, but to be in action. Hmm. To be in action, in positivity, to move forward without those who are in, who are unable. A lot of people are unable to do this. There's only a few of us that can shift. And so when we do that, it's for our own good, but then we need to also be able to, and I'm speaking to myself now, I have to forgive others for their inability not to be able to shift.
It's like what we said at the beginning of the hour. You know, there is some sort of a divine hand. Nothing happens by chance. And Barbara, I think what you've just summed up by saying, recognizing your own values and acknowledging that other people may not have those same values, you can put things into action. If you value life and relationships, you're going to do something about it, whereas other people may not. And it comes back to, you know, back to this article, Malcolm, that you shared with us, mm-hmm. that we have to know our values and treat them as sacred elements to our lives. And that means the first step is finding out what you value, because then you can line up your life. And rather than looking at other people and being frustrated that they don't match up, you can just take action.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. You know, I was really excited to be able to have this talk today with both of you. And you absolutely delivered, by the way, Barbara and Andrea. You absolutely slayed this thing. This Inc. article as well, I'm going to put in the live post at America Out Loud Friends. And again, to recap here, number one is elevate your values to sacred status, which is what Dr. Andrea is talking about right now. Follow an authenticity code of conduct. And that's a word I take a lot of pride in, authenticity, because I'm an authentic person. I am what I am. I'm not what you want me to be or what you think I should be. I am who I am. I'm authentic, yeah? The third thing here is articulate and animate your purpose. And I love that as well. This is why this article really spoke to me in Inc. And there's a lot of key questions in this third part I want you to look at later on when you go to the post at America Out Loud. Like, for instance, just to give you some food for thought here, friends, what are your superpowers? I like that question. We all have some superpowers, right? What are yours? What are yours today? What are your values and beliefs, as we spoke about? What would you do for free? See, there's a lot of things I would do for free, by the way, because money's not my driving mechanism in life. It never has been. What part of you is not showing up? What have been your happiest moments in life, you know? And just ask yourself these kinds of questions and then try to answer them. And you'll come away with a higher sense as you shift, as Barbara McGee says, as you shift in life. And as you eliminate that fear, and I want to leave you with this amazing quote from John Alston that I want to leave you with, and it's this. The only thing you take with you when you're gone is what you leave behind. Dr. Andrea Pennington, Barbara McGee, this is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends. We'll be right back.